in Colossians chapter 1, God is utilizing the pen of the Apostle Paul to write to a group of people we'll note shortly. As a means of an object lesson, would you please close your eyes? Everybody, please close your eyes. As you have your eyes closed, what do you see? You see darkness. Now, I want you to be very careful as we proceed through the message today, and each time we have the opportunity to share the Word of the Lord, to be careful, because we're dealing with the most precious thing a person has, and that's with a soul. And any little out of ordinary thing can detract people from listening to the Word of the Lord, working of the Holy Spirit. So be very careful, very cautious of how we listen to the Word of the Lord and pray as the Word of God goes forth. You may open your eyes. You know, the Bible said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. What did you see when you had your eyes closed? You saw darkness. Total darkness, didn't you? But God gave you light by permitting you to open your eyes, and then you can see the light. So only God can open spiritual light to our hearts. But He has chosen to do that through the preaching of the Word accompanied by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Now Satan's going to do everything he can to get you not to listen to the Word of the Lord. So let me encourage all of us to be mindful of this and to be aware of this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Paul was an apostle chosen by the Lord to so be. And Timotheus, our brother. So it's Paul and Timothy. God is utilizing the pen of Paul to write this letter, and here is to whom he's writing. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So he's writing to those who have been made alive, who have been brought from darkness to light in Christ Jesus. I trust he's writing to us today, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Burnout. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the words of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful ministry of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. Now here's our subject. Delivered from darkness. Delivered from darkness. Now let's look at verse 13 again. He's writing to those who have been delivered from darkness. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Of course, that's talking about none other than Jesus Christ. And He's talking here to saved people. How were they saved? Well, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These people heard the Word, they believed the message, and they were saved. That's the work of God, to birth one into the family of God. When they hear, when they believe. What is the evidence of their salvation here? These believers demonstrated, or they manifested, faith, hope, and love. Look at verse 4, 5, and 8. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So, what's the evidence? These believers demonstrated, they manifested faith, hope, and love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Only Jesus can give faith, change a selfish heart into a heart of love, and give a blessed hope for the future. Only Jesus can do this, because He paid the price that was required of the eternal Almighty God as payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Did you hear what we said? There's a price on sin. That's death. Everybody outside of Christ is on death row. Beloved, you're on death row. If you do not know Christ in the forgiveness of sin, the death sentence has already been passed on you by the eternal Almighty God. At one time I sat where you sat. I too was under the death sentence. But something happened in my life. And we get into that something happened in my life, and I trust in your life in a little bit. Something happened in the life of these saints at Colossae that Paul was writing to. And I hope the same thing has happened in your life. And only Jesus can give faith. The Word brought forth fruit in their lives, verse 6 tells us. The Word brought forth fruit in their lives. Fruit is the evidence of true salvation, beloved. Now, as we think together on delivered from darkness, faith in Christ brings freedom. A person doesn't realize he's bound by Satan and by the chains of sin until God does a work of grace in one's heart. You are a slave to Satan, beloved. He's controlling your life. Satan is. But the truth makes you free. You need the truth. Jesus says, as recorded by John in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Only Christ can set you free from the shackles of sin. And that's why we read in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the anointed of God, sent into this world on a special mission to die for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for your justification. If you have a heart trust in that, God births you into His family. How do you stand this morning in the sight of God? Unbelief is an obstacle. Faith is an opportunity. How do you stand this morning in the sight of God? The power of darkness is an obstacle to freedom, beloved. The power of darkness. You're in spiritual darkness. If you're outside Christ, you don't understand what we're talking about. But do you understand death? You understand physical death. That's the separation of the inward man from the tabernacle of clay. You understand that. But spiritual death is separation from God. You have no relationship. You have no fellowship with God. It's all dark to you. And if you die like that in your sin, you're going to experience the death of Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, body and soul being cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. A person that dies outside Christ is going to the lake of fire forever. And Satan keeps you blinded to these truths, beloved, if you're here lost today. You're just a heartbeat away, and God controls that heartbeat. You're just a step away from eternity, just as I am. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, 4, and 5, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. What is the power of darkness? Ask yourself that question. What is the power of darkness? How is deliverance possible from the power of darkness? Why is our deliverer able to set us free? Looking at verse 13 again, that's point number one, the power of darkness. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Now, if you're outside Christ, you're under the power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So the power of darkness speaks of sin. S-I-N. What is the middle letter in sin? I, sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is perfection. And sin's going to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. So men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says in John 3:19. This is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why is it that it's hard to get people that are lost to come to the house of God, where the Word of God is taught and preached out of a heart of love and compassion, because the feel uncomfortable. I would feel uncomfortable to go to a dance hall. I'd feel uncomfortable to go to a beer joint. It's my nature to feel uncomfortable in places like that. But a lost person feels uncomfortable to come to the house of God, where the Spirit of God follows the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and it exposes them for what they are: lost. People don't like to be exposed for what they are. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Verse 20 goes on to say in John 3, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. His deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. Why is it that God's people enjoy studying the truth of the Word of God, meeting with God's people, loving one another? Why is it? We've been brought from darkness to light in Christ Jesus. Why was Jesus hated so during His earthly ministry? Why were they saying, away with Him, away with Him, we won't have Him to rule over us? The one who never made a mistake in His life, the one who was loved, The one who was compassionate with everyone that he came into contact with. Why did people hate him so? They didn't want to be in his presence. His presence exposed them for what they were. Lost. Undone. Loving evil more than light. Christ was the light. So it is today. It is today. Now what is the reason that their deeds are evil? We're told why. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're all under that condemnation at one time. You hath God made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, who in times past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life. In times past, in lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God intervened, just as He did with these saints at Colossae. God intervened in my life. Through the preaching of the Word, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, opened my blinded eyes to the truth of the Word of God, that I was a sinner and the death sentence had been passed upon me. And He opened my eyes to the only way of salvation. The only way into God's family. Sin, beloved, holds people in bondage. You think you're free, but you're held in bondage. Satan is controlling you like a bridle on a mule. Satan just leading you around by the nose. Sin blinds. And intensifies darkness. As I looked at this, I thought of Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was ordained an apostle. But he was never saved. He was the first treasure of the first Baptist church ever. But you know where Judas Iscariot is now? He's in hell. What am I saying? Church won't save you. Takes the blood of Christ. Jesus died that we could live. Wise ones avoid the works of darkness. The power of sin flows from the rulers of darkness. And I wish we had time to go into the Scripture and give you Bible and read this, but I hope you can take notes and study later. The power of sin flows from the rulers of darkness. Believers are in conflict with these rulers. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us this. Believers are in conflict with the rulers of sin in this world. Our Lord equips us to win this battle. You can look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 to look at the equipment that God equips us with to win this battle. Christ the light overcomes the power of darkness, beloved. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Those who walk with Christ have the light of life. We're told in John 8 and 12. Now let's look at the possibility of deliverance from darkness. Look at verse 14. Going back to verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So, as you look at that, in whom we have redemption through His blood, can you see now why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Can you understand now why Peter preached before the Jewish Supreme Court, as recorded in Acts the 4th chapter? Verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He's talking about Jesus, the one who satisfied the just demand of a holy God as payment for sin. You recall, during His earthly ministry, a group came to Jesus and said, look, what can we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe on Him in whom He has sent. If you have a heart trust in the finished work of Christ, that's the work of God in your heart. You can't just decide to believe that. God does a work of grace in your heart. What do we read in, is it John 6:37? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He's used the preaching of the Word, the convicting power of the Spirit of God to draw him. Verse 45 says, every man therefore that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So that puts responsibility on the church to get out the truth of the Word of God. Are we doing that? We believers have been redeemed. We've been bought back. We were sold in the slave market of sin. Put up for sale. Jesus came and bought us back. Beloved, what good news we have in Christ. Deliverance from bondage calls for praise. Here we are today, meeting as children of God, being brought from darkness to light in Christ of what Christ has done for us, and it calls for praise. Are we rejoicing and praising the Lord for what He has done? What He is doing? What He shall yet do? You recall Moses leading his people from slavery in Egypt? Then in Exodus 15 we find Israel's song of deliverance. How joyous they were that had been delivered from slavery. So it is with me. I rejoice in what the Lord has done and is doing and shall yet do for me, a sinner. Birthed me into His family. Gave me faith to believe that Christ died for my sins according to Scripture. That He was buried and on the third day rose again for my justification. Gave me love to love Him and to love the truth of His Word. To love God's people. To love to see the lost saved. To carry the truth of the Word of God gave me hope. The assurance of the Lord coming to consummate my salvation. Give me a new body. I have that assurance. Our deliverance includes the forgiveness of sins and sin penalty. This is why Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, look at me as an example of what Christ came to do. Paul was a murderer. God saved him. God utilized him in a great way to pen 14 of the 27 books we find in the New Testament. But listen to him. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The old account was settled long ago. When Jesus died at Calvary, He satisfied the just demand of a holy God for my sin. For your sin. Have you seen that yet? Has God done a work of grace in your heart? Opened your spiritual blinded eyes to see that you are a sinner? But that God made a way for us to escape the damnation of hell? Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can be brought up against the redeemed. Did you know that? Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Who is the person that God won't mark up sin against? That is under the blood. Is that you? Are you under the blood? We read in, I believe it's Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 goes on to say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? We have an illustration after illustration of this in the Bible. You know the Ethiopian eunuch was saved, baptized, went on his way rejoicing. We're on our way today to the glory world. Are we rejoicing? I trust we are. The promise of the deliverer was given in Eden. After man walked away from God, we have the first promise of a redeemer in Genesis 3:15. And the Bible is full of that promise of that redeemer. And then eventually he came through Virgin Mary. Lived up on this earth some 33 years, went to Calvary's cross. When I see the travail of his soul, I'll be satisfied. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You looking at why? Jesus took my place at Calvary. He was my substitute. He died in my place. The payment for deliverance was paid at Calvary when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why we read, beloved, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And he that hath the Son hath life, and is perfect in the sight of God. He sees His Son, who was perfect. And that's why we read in 1 Peter 1:18, 19, and 20, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That was God's eternal plan to redeem fallen man in and through the death of His Son. Now we look at the perfect deliverer. Look at verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 with me again. The perfect deliverer, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The image of the invisible God, all things were made by Him. Do you remember what we read in John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, Logos. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, John says. So the image of the invisible God, Christ as the eternal Son, holds the priority and the preeminence. Is that true in your life? Is that true in my life? Christ created all principalities and powers, verse 16 tells us. He is then far above all them. We could go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 23 and see that. He has triumphed over the enemy, beloved. Colossians 2:15 tells us this. The power of darkness cannot stand against Him. Not at all. No darkness where Christ is. He's the light. He's the light. As we conclude, in Christ, our deliverance is sure. In Christ, our deliverance from darkness to light is sure. May you rest your faith in this perfect deliverer. I want to share with you in 1 Peter chapter 1, just a moment. Here's what lies ahead for God's people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a reservation in the glory world. We're going to arrive safely, beloved, on the other shore. We're on a journey. As Moses told his brother-in-law Hobab, we're on a journey. We're going to the place that God said, I'll give you. Come thou with us, and we'll do you good. So, may you rest your faith in this perfect deliverer, Jesus Christ. As we study the Bible, we find redemption is by blood. That's the work of the Son. Unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. Resurrection by power, that's the work of the Father. We're told in 1 Peter 1:21. And then regeneration through the Word, that's the work of the Spirit. As we're told in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Those who believe in Jesus Christ receive from God the gift of eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus Christ receive from God the gift of eternal life. And that's why we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we read in Jesus' dialogue with Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Faith, beloved, is commitment to Jesus Christ. And that is a gift from God. Saving faith is grounded in the gospel. It's the Word that gives us assurance. As we grow in the Lord, our faith becomes steadfast and established. Going back to closing your eyes, you see darkness. That's the way one's lost is from a spiritual standpoint. You can't see the truths of the Word of the Lord until God intervenes and opens those eyes where you can see. Has He opened your eyes to see that you're a sinner? And that sin's going to be paid for? The wages of sin is death? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us sinners. Do you have a heart trust in that? When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was you. That was me. Is He real in your life? Father, through the Holy Spirit, we pray You'll make Christ real to all of our hearts, where we can rejoice with the true joy of knowing that sins are forgiven in and through the shed blood of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The One who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. And oh, how we praise Him, how we love Him. How this should be manifested in our lives each day You permit us to live and move and have our being. Search every heart here this morning. Oh God, if there are those that's still spiritually blinded, would You not, through the Holy Spirit, open those spiritual blinded eyes to see the condition they're in? The death sentence has already passed upon them, just waiting for death to catch them, usher them into eternity. The greatest of all tragedies, leave this walk of life outside of Christ. May they see Christ as He dies at Calvary as their substitute. He was taken from the cross. He was buried in a barred tomb. But just as He said on the third day, He came forth victorious. over death, over hell, and over the grave. He ascended back to the Father in heaven. He's there now as our intercessor, our mediator. Father, we acknowledge we do not know how to pray, what to pray for, but we're so grateful that the Spirit makes intercession for us in and through the finished work of Christ and knows our needs even before we ask. But thank you for the wonderful, glorious privilege to come boldly to the throne of grace. We might find mercy, grace to help in time of need. Thank you that you're in the business of bringing folks from darkness to light in Christ Jesus. Pray you do that. May we have the courage to do what would bring honor to you through the baptism of waters, utilizing our talents you've given us through your church to bring honor to you, a blessing to others. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.